Welcome. We're glad you've chosen to listen to this message from what God is doing at Kingdom Faith Southwest. We pray you will receive the faith you need through hearing God's word.
Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 10. We were looking on Sunday really at our spiritual victory and enforcing victory and praying for one another so that we can win. And I just felt tonight to really concentrate on strength, the subject of living strong, on God's strength. And Ephesians chapter 6, even before really Paul speaks about the soldier and about the armor and the sword and standing against the devil, he starts with this verse, "Finally be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power." Be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. His extreme awesome power. God wants his people, and that would include you and me, to be demonstrating a strength and a power in our lives that make people look at us and say, how can they be so powerful, so full of strength? And this strength doesn't come from our own ability to make ourselves strong. It's being strong in him. It's having the strength that God has transferred to us. So there is this exchange, really, where we ourselves don't have strength, where we are weak. Then his strength comes in to make us strong, which is why we should be surprising the world. Not because we are weak, but because our weaknesses are changed into his power. You know, some people just say, well, it's really good that I'm weak. Well, it's not. The word says, be strong in the Lord. That's the will of God for you. Not to stay weak, but to have this exchange where he actually becomes the strength in your weakness. No matter what that weakness is, it doesn't matter whether it's physical, whether it's a sin or a temptation, whether it's something that you're struggling with anxiety and concerns, God is saying, I want you to be strong, strong in me, and to live strong. I love that the Lord actually has made provision for us to not stay weak, but be strong. And it's through our union with him, through our position of grace in Christ. We are in Christ. It is totally a work of grace. We didn't work for it. We were without strength, sinners, lost. And whilst we were still without strength, the ability to do anything about our lives, Christ died for us. And now we are, through faith in him, in Christ, we are united with him, unified. The word of God says you are one in spirit with the Lord. Amen. You are one in spirit with the Lord. You are joined, one in Christ. And that makes him everything that you can be. What he is, you can live in. What he has, you can receive. And it is all a work of grace. And that's why we love the message of grace. Because grace means that God gives it freely to those who receive it. Yeah? So we need to draw from his strength. To be strong in God means we're drawing constantly from his strength. It's not just a quotation of a scripture. It's not just some theory which isn't got the ability to be fulfilled. To be strong in the Lord is not just something we read about and dream about. It is something he wants us to live in. Isn't that wonderful? I have a vision for your life. That you will be strong in him, not in yourself, not in your own abilities. You'll lose, really, your dependence on yourself and cling to, grab hold of him and his ability. And he has made, through our being united, one with Christ, he has made all his strength available. His mighty power. The scriptures say, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. So if you think about the power of his might, which was able to part the Red Sea, it was able to bring water out of a rock, was able to do change a city in a day by taking the walls out of Jericho, was able to make Gideon strong. The anointing came upon him when a lion came against him. He ripped, tore apart the lion. God is able to strengthen us for whatever we're facing. And he's made all of his strength available to each child of God. To each and every one here, God says, all my strength belongs to you. But we must learn how to receive it. It's one thing to know it and one thing to read it and to say, brilliant, what a great picture for me, for my life. But it's another thing to actually possess that strength. Yeah? And sometimes there is this gap. I remember Pastor Michael years ago. Isn't it amazing to remember messages from years ago where he said there was a credibility gap between what God said and what I'm living in? And I love that message. I was a student at Roffey at the time, and I thought, I've always thought about this credibility gap. I want to close the gap where I see the truth and I actually am living it. And what you read, you can say, wow, that's her. So it's closing the gap. So that what we read becomes actually what we experience. And this union with Christ then, being strong in the Lord, means that essentially you and I are continuing to live connected to Jesus. Living in that connection with him. Now, he's not out there. He's not in some place, somewhere else. He's in us. Christ lives in us through the power of his Spirit. As you sit there, you have the presence of God in you. God himself dwells in you by his Holy Spirit. And so because we have a real contact with him, all the possibilities of God are ours. What God can do will become our experience. So possibilities are immense for those who actually are in contact with God and are strong, receiving power from the Lord. And we notice as well in our own lives, as soon as we lose contact or get distance from the Lord or disconnect in some way, you know, Scripture talks about, it's interesting, I'm amazed how the Scripture defines unbelief. And we know unbelief is a sin. Faith pleases God. Unbelief is a sin. Unbelief is a stubborn refusal to trust God and what he says. And, you know, you can't receive anything from God with unbelief. But I'm always amazed in Hebrews, the Scriptures speak about unbelief as being somebody's heart has departed from the living God. Okay, so for example, here's Sandra sitting on the front row. You know, here I am in close contact. But you could say this is a faith relationship. This is something that's vital, real. But if I depart, then that means there's a separation, there's a disconnection. I'm not as close to Jesus as I could be. Because when I'm close, I get strong. When I kind of get a little bit distanced or different things can come in, then a weakness comes in my spiritual life. And you know what happens when you're not close to Jesus? It's incredible how much trouble you have with your flesh. Your flesh starts to take over. You start to lose your temper. You're unloving. You start to not to want to pray, to read the word. It's like you make selfish decisions all the time because you're not close. As soon as you're in close contact with Jesus, it's incredible how easier life is to walk with the Lord and to walk in his will. Isn't that true in your experience? It's in my experience anyway. The closer I am to Jesus, the easier I find it to do the right thing. And so, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might means we need to keep this vital contact, this closeness with him in a real way in our daily lives. In a real personal relationship, one-on-one relationship with Jesus. God hasn't just saved you to work for him. He hasn't just saved you to function in life and just, you know, say, well, I'm a Christian now. He saved you for a relationship. That's the goal of his life, is you. The way he laid down his life, not just so you could work for him, but that you could be with him. I think sometimes, you know, we look in different cultures and we think marriage, we look at arranged marriages, and there are some in the world who marry and choose a wife or even a husband, depending on how it works out in that culture. I want you to work for me. And there's no love. There's no kind of shared partnership, shared life. And that is like a slavish, functional, dry relationship. But when it's born out of love and close contact, then the things that you do out of wanting to rather than having to. And when we lose contact, when we lose this closeness with Jesus, we actually lose our victorious life. Life of victory will be found in somebody who's living in a one-to-one close relationship with Jesus. Hallelujah. I know this is good. It's very simple. Because I know this is God tonight. I know that God wants to do something very special tonight. But it's something that we have to let go of what we thought and think about where we're at. And we just need to push into Jesus. Don't be condemned tonight and say, what am I not? Just say, from tonight on, let's go. You know, don't think of forgetting the things that are behind. Forget yesterday. Even forget today. Press on. Okay, so you're free to let this happen tonight for you. Okay, brilliant. No condemnation. Just let's press on into Jesus. Is that good? Right, something lifted. That's good. That's good. Praise God. So look at 1 Corinthians 13. If the Lord is going to be our strength in a real way in our lives, then we need to learn how to receive his strength. Yeah? And tonight's all about receiving. And everybody breathed a sigh of relief. Tonight's about receiving so that we can live strong. In 1 Corinthians 13:13, the word says, now these three things remain: faith, hope, and love. So in other words, the most important three things from God's perspective is faith, hope, and love. This is God's report, God's word. And then it goes on to say, but the greatest of these is love. So love is the greatest thing. Now, I'm not going to bring a message. Pastor Colin did a message, a great message on love. But I want to start at what the scripture says comes first, and that's faith. Because without faith, you can't have hope, And without faith, you can't work in the love of God or receive the love of God. So faith comes first. Whilst it's not the greatest, it is the first. Is that okay? So faith is the way that these things bud and blossom into love. But it has to begin with this wonderful word, which I have grown to love more and more, faith. Now, the word says in Hebrews 11:6, without faith, it is impossible to please God. So we know that faith is actually going to please God. Not our performance, not what you haven't been doing in your relationship with God, but what you're going to believe tonight. Your faith tonight is important. Let's not make it a theory for another night, but let's make it tonight. So, without faith tonight, it is impossible to please him. And then it goes on to say, because he who comes to God, I love that, he who comes to God. Yeah. We've already come to God with that song, haven't we? Yeah. We are coming to him now with our hearts, hearing his voice, hearing his word. He who comes to God, that's a now word. It's an action. It's what we're doing. We come to him. Must believe that he is. That he is, he exists. And that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. So God rewards those who diligently seek him. And I believe one of the first rewards we can get is faith. Because faith then blossoms out into answers, into miracles, or into the love of God. But everything starts with faith. But this scripture is very clear that we are not to seek faith. Without faith, it's impossible to please him. But the one who comes to God must believe that he is. So we're coming to the person. Believing that he exists, that he lives in me, that he's here now. I believe he's here. I believe he lives in me. And I'm going to come to him. And he will reward those who seek him. And that's why to be strong in the Lord and the power of his might isn't really about getting faith. It's about going to him and he will give you faith. He will reward you with faith. Now faith overcomes the world, the Bible says. That means when I've got faith, I can win anything. Faith does the works of God. But we mustn't seek faith. When in Hebrews chapter 12, the word of God tells us that we need to look unto Jesus. That essentially means stop looking at yourself. Stop looking at your circumstances, the money you don't have, the talent you seem to be without, what you are missing in your life. Stop looking at lack and need. Stop looking at other people. And look to Jesus, the author and the perfecter of our faith. We get our faith from him. Looking unto Jesus. And when we look to him, we receive from him. And we receive from his word too. His word is living and powerful. And his word, the Spirit takes the word and ministers faith to us because faith comes from hearing and hearing by his word. His word. It's the word of God. Thank you, Jesus. Now, if you think about this illustration that you, the life of the believer as an example is like a tree. And don't be put off by me calling you a tree. My, what lovely trees we have. And the tree, and I saw a program last night, I think it's called Planet Life. I just flicked on. I finished work about 8:30 last night, sat down with a cup of coffee, just flicking, saw Planet Life. I like kind of programs like that. And there was this tree called, what kind of tree was it? Big tree. It was a big tree. No, it was abroad in some rainforest. Sequoia. Yes. Sequoia. That's it. That's the one. That tree. Anyway, it's a big tree. And it's the... If you think about a tree, you've got all the leaves, the foliage, and the seeds or the fruit that it produces. You've got the branches, and you've got the trunk. Now, everything you can see is the evidence of really the life that that tree receives. And it is only that because it's received the life. But then you go down into what you can't see. And we know, when we look at trees, you and I know there are roots. Because you've dug them up sometimes, or you've seen them dug up, or blown over. So you know that a tree doesn't stop at the sight level. It goes into the unseen. And your life doesn't stop at what we see. There's something that's much deeper in you. And that's why the Word of God tells us we're spirit. You can't see my spirit. Actually, that's the first part of me, what the Word of God says, talks about. Soul, mind, will, and emotions, and body. So like a tree, you've got a lot of unseen things happening underneath. And they are the things that actually will produce what is seen. The foliage. If we call the foliage love, yeah? The new branches hope. But if we call the faith, the roots faith. Or we call the roots, don't call them faith. So I've just changed the analogy. Don't call them faith, call them the inner part of you. Your heart. Okay? So we know that your heart receives things from the Lord and draws up strength and life so that your whole life will flourish. But it begins in the underground or in the unseen realm. Now the roots are to find life, water, so that life can flow from the roots up the trunk, through the branches to the leaves. And so there's a whole healthy lifestyle going on. So the roots are, if you cut off the roots, you cut off the ability of that plant to do well and to prosper, to live. But the roots itself, they don't make life. They don't create life. They draw in life. They receive life. And if you think about what the Lord is saying about being strong in Him, it essentially means that your roots or your heart needs to draw or receive strength so that you can be strong. So that your outer life is strong. But it has to start with an inward drawing up and drinking from Jesus. It's like God gives the life, and the roots just take it up. And in your heart is a river of grace. All that you will ever need is in you. Hallelujah. Everything you will ever need to win is in you. You are incredible in your spirit. Because Christ lives in you. Yeah? And so, the roots need to be taking in from what God has freely given. So to be strong in the Lord, let's look at Genesis chapter 17 as an example of really how to receive strength. If I just think about just putting my roots and just saying, Lord, I'm going to draw up everything I need tonight, I'm a happy bunny, or pastor, or person, or a happy believer. Because, I mean, I can have everything I need now. Because he's provided it all for me. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. So, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. Now, we're reading here about Abraham. And Abraham is called, in the New Testament, he's called the father of our faith. Somebody who we use as an example to help us to live by faith. And remember, faith is the unseen. Faith happens not with the visible things that, or things you can feel, touch, but faith is being sure of what we hope for, certain of what we don't see. Okay, so this is really Abraham as an example of faith. And so let's just read verse 1. When Abraham was 99 years old, I love it that Scripture tells us exactly how old he was. 99 years old. The Lord appeared to him and said, I am God Almighty. Walk before me and be blameless. Now, let's just cut into really where Abram was at personally. He'd had a promise many years before from the Lord. God had spoken to him that he would have a son. And that through that son, multitudes would come. Because this is how God works. He gives a promise. Somebody believes it. And through us believing that promise, many other people receive or come into life. And so Abraham had this promise from God. And he'd heard God's voice speak to him that God was going to give him a son. And that Abraham would be called the father of multitudes or the father of many nations. Now, I think by the time that Abraham was about 85, he would have got to the point where he would have said, I'd like to be the father of just the one. I know you're calling me the father of multitudes, but, you know, I'd like the one to arrive. And I just think, I often think about Abraham's long walk, really, of faith, continuing to trust God. Because 90 came and went. 91 came and went. 92, 93, 94, 95, 96. And every year it seemed less likely to be able to happen. In fact, in the New Testament, in Romans, we read that both he and Sarah's bodies were as good as dead. And I think that scripture really saying it was naturally impossible for them to accomplish what God said he was going to do. So they were just about alive, but not alive enough. I knew Camille would like that one. And so, basically, their bodies were as good as dead. As good as dead. Now, I've never thought dead was good. But what Scripture's saying is, when you are absolutely at the end, when you can't do it, that's why it's good. When you are at the end of yourself, it's good. It's as good as dead. And so Abraham, he gets to 98. And the thing about faith, and we learn it so much in our personal walk, and it's so much to be learned from Abraham, is that when it gets so less likely to happen, it's like reasoning start to shout louder than the promise. We've all experienced that, haven't we? It's like somebody turns the volume up of reasoning. And the whispers of the promise get kind of quieter. I tell you what you need to choose to turn up. At that point, what are you going to listen to and pump up the volume with? The word. The promise. You turn that up and shout it out. Loud. Because your reasoning, your mind, well, you know, and the thing is, then you get into self-condemnation. Has anybody ever done that? Where something hasn't happened and you think, well, I've missed it. I am definitely must be the problem. Am I the block? Am I in the way? Is there something wrong with me? And God doesn't say that to Abraham, does he? He comes and Abraham has actually heard this voice before, so he recognizes the voice. And I love it that God comes when things really get difficult with a fresh encounter to encourage our faith. Don't you love that about Jesus? So he comes and he says, I am the Lord. I am God Almighty. And Abraham heard this, but received something from it. Because this is the translation of this in the Hebrew is El Shaddai. And so what God was saying was, I am El Shaddai. Now, the Hebrew for the Shad part, Shaddai, as in Shad, the Hebrew meaning of that is breast. And what God was communicating was a picture that Abraham would have been familiar with, was of a mother and a child, and the child being fed by the mother. And so God was saying, I am the one who's going to feed you with everything that you need. Because you are what I have given birth to. I love you. I gave birth to you. You are part of me. And I want you to be strengthened and sustained so that we can see the fulfillment of everything that I have promised. So that Abraham isn't weak, but he is strengthened in faith and receives the promise. I know that you and I know how to hold on to the word. I know we can do that. But God wants us to hold on to the promise strong, not weak. He wants us strengthened in faith. And so he gives this wonderful picture of like a mother with a child feeding her baby and giving nourishment and strength to that child. Care, life flows. And so God is saying to us tonight, draw from me your strength. You need not carry on weak or concerned or unable to face whatever is going on in your life. You needn't try and work up power to make things happen in your life. God has promised things and he will do it. But he wants to keep us strong as we continue to trust him for what he has promised. So just like the tree with the roots, we must learn to draw and drink from his presence. Come to Jesus, the author and perfecter of your faith. He will give you what you need. He will impart faith to you for the impossible. I think about often with Bartimaeus. He didn't have faith as he sat in his condition of need until the presence of Jesus showed up. Till Jesus came. And when Jesus came, he still didn't have faith. He said, help. Help, help. He cried out, have mercy on me. Jesus stopped and said, what did he say? Do you remember? Bring him here to me. Why? Because in close contact, Bartimaeus will receive faith. So he comes to Jesus, and Jesus said, what do you want me to do for you? Now, Jesus already knew he was blind, and Jesus already knows what you need. But he's not going to give it until you ask and draw it from him. The baby does not receive until it takes. I think there's nothing sadder than I've heard of conditions when a baby is born and they don't suck. They don't actually draw in. That's dangerous. Because the baby isn't taking in what it needs from the mother. And if we're not taking in everything we need from God, we will not be strong. May the Lord give us the overwhelming desire to take a lot in from Jesus and stop depending on other things, other people, other resources. Let us live as good as dead, but strengthened in faith. Amen. Amen. So come to the end of ourselves so that we totally trust God. You are in the best place when you have no resources of yourself left. Thank you, Lord. So we must learn that God is willing to give it, just as a mother is willing to feed her child. But the child must learn how to receive. I find it incredible when Paul speaks, and I don't know why people think, well, no, I need to remain weak. When Paul himself said, when God said to Paul, and we read it, because he gave it, the scripture to us, the word to us, he said, the Lord said, my grace is sufficient for you. For my power, in other words, my ability, my strength, is made perfect in your weakness. So he's basically saying, it's brilliant if you're weak. Celebrate it, but don't stay there. Celebrate it when you get to the end of yourself. And then say, Lord, you are the only one who can give me the strength to win this battle, to overcome this personal thing, to see a victory in my family. You are the only one who can save my family. You are the only one who can sort this mess. I'm going to draw from your presence, and I'm going to trust you to give me faith as I come to you, Jesus, and read your word. You see, don't just read scriptures. Come to Jesus first. Say, Jesus, I come to you. I'm drawing near to you. Not just to reading. Oh, I like UCB little, well, I don't use them, but they're all right. They're all right for babies. But you don't want to stay a baby, do you? Just read your UCB notes. Right, that's my word for the day. Come to Jesus. Lord, I thank you for your word. I thank you for your presence. I come and sit with you now. Thank you that I'm one with you, that your presence is here. You're in me. And Lord, as I meditate on your word, read your word, I thank you that I will hear your spirit speak to me through the word. Thank you, Lord. That's relationship based. Not, right, done it. I'm going shopping. I've got to go to Sainsbury's before I get to work. I can see some of you do it because I saw your face. And no condemnation, but let's draw near to Jesus. Let's not live like that. It's a travesty to know that all the riches are in Christ in us and that we can receive them all day long. In every situation, we can draw from him and receive his strength. We need to be always ready to receive what he is always ready to give. Whatever your need, he's ready to meet it. Willing to meet it. If it's been a long time coming, you promise? Well, God's just saying, be strengthened. So that you don't kind of get all weak until you get there. Don't get to the finishing line like this. I did it. But go, thank you, Jesus, you're the strength of my life. And that I will walk before you. You're my El Shaddai. You're my all in all, my all sufficient one. With you, I can be sustained in anything. You're the source, Jesus. You're the author of my faith. You are the one who gives me faith. I don't want to move a mountain. I don't even want to look at a mountain until I've looked to you. I don't want to address any issue until I've got something from you. Authorized faith. Give me what I need. As I draw on your ability, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. His power is here now. His strength is here now. His strength is in you. His healing is in you. His wisdom is in you. His plan is in you. His victory is in you. His grace is in you. And if you're weak, praise God. As Paul did, I will boast about my weaknesses. Because then the power of Christ will rest on me. If you're going through a tough time, go through it strong. If you feel miserable, get his joy. Don't stay miserable. Please, please, we need you to be different. Please, you need me to live out of the life of Christ. We need you to have a relationship with God that is drawing on his strength. The world needs that. Where you go in your workplace, they need you to have that vital connection with Jesus. Because then what you'll give is his life, not your attempts to produce it. The mountains you speak to will definitely leave because you got it first from him. Thank you, Jesus. The Lord is the strength of his people. I know we need each other. And I know the Lord calls his church to walk together. I'm so encouraged by us being together tonight. But God's the strength of our lives. He alone is our strength. And so, you know, when your roots go starting to look for somebody else to help you or, you know, Maybe I'll get an extra job because I can't afford, or, you know, where am I going to come to Jesus? He welcomes you. Draw near to him and he will draw near to you. I just think of, you know, Bartimaeus shouting out, bring him to me. And I'm sure Jesus was like, and so when he said, what do you want me to do for you? It was like a blank check. With somebody who wants to give everything. So what do you want me to do for you? I want to see. And in that moment, what do you want me to do for you? The words and the presence of Jesus caused Bartimaeus' faith to go, I want. And when Jesus says, your faith has healed you, it's only because he gave it to Bartimaeus. He didn't have faith 2 seconds before. He had faith for mercy and crying out so loud that maybe he would stop. But he changed when he was close to Jesus. And you know, we think because we've got faith, we got something ourselves. We never did. It's like, you know, if I give you my watch, it was mine, but I gave it to yours and now it is yours. It's like faith. You only got it because he gave it to you. Bartimaeus received. Okay, he wanted so much for Jesus. He knew he could do something, but it became, he will do it. Because his presence and his, what do you want me to do, transformed something on the inside of Bartimaeus. Isn't that fantastic? I mean, we love Jesus, don't we? He is our strength. He's the strength to get up in the morning and sing. He's the strength to face a difficult job situation. He is the ability to strengthen us until we see the promise fulfilled. He is our all in all, our all-sufficient one. So let's put our Bibles down, our pens down, wind the preacher up, because Jesus wants us to draw near and receive. Let's come to Jesus and say, Lord, I just want to be with you. So just fix your eyes on him. That's the best advice that I can give because it's the only advice the Word gives. Fix your eyes on Jesus.
This completes the message. Thank you for listening. If you would like any further information on Kingdom Faith Southwest, please contact us on 01823 664 186 or overseas visitors 0044 1823 664 186 or log onto our website at www.kingdomfaithsw.com.